going to be in the 126th Psalm this evening, Psalm 126. I don't typically have dreams that I really want to have again. In fact, I'm not really a big fan of dreaming at all. But in our language, when we say that something is a dream or that we're living a dream, we typically use it as a good thing. And that is how it's used here within the 126th Psalm. We see, beginning in verse 1, "Then when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouths was filled with laughter, and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad.'" Now, this appears to be a psalm that was written by some who are coming back to Jerusalem from captivity, a blessing that I am sure probably seemed out of reach for them. And it was by their own power, but it was possible for God. And that seems to be the main motivation here for this first section of this psalm, is just merely to give thanks to God and to express these feelings that they are filled with laughter and joy. And I believe that they say that they feel this way within this psalm because they actually do feel this way. You know, every day may not be perfect for them, but they understand what a wonderful life that they have because of the God that has saved them and given salvation to them. Now, there is a flip side to every coin, and it's like that in a lot of things. There are dreams that are too good to be true, and then there are nightmares that we're glad are not. There's laughter in this life, and then there is sorrow. And I believe that we see kind of the flip side given to us in this next section, in verse 4. "Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bags of seeds, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." Now, I believe that "restore our captivity" is used here not in a sense of, you know, take us back captive by any means, but restore the rest of our captives. Restore the rest of us. Those who are not with us. There are people who are out of captivity and they are joyful. But then there are still those that are in captivity. And it doesn't sound like their life is too good right now. These peoples are separated by a distance, but they have shared in being the same people, and they have certainly shared in the same struggle as well. But now those who have been given freedom by God still care for others. They view them as our captivity. But now they are in the position to realize that what God has blessed them with could absolutely change the lives of these other people. Now, I love this psalm because of the perceptiveness that I see in it. The writer or the writers of this psalm is able to see the different sides of a couple of different coins here, and they kind of look at the sides, to me, that are hardest to see. First of all, they are able to see their life for more than just the problems in it. And they can see why they can be joyful, and that's hard for me to do at times. It is easier to see the other side of that coin, the reasons why I shouldn't be happy or whatever it may be. There are a lot of things in this life that we don't understand, and that's true about a lot of the problems that we face in our life. But what is harder to grasp, and far harder to grasp, is what God has done for us. We went we had our annual gift exchange yesterday, as many of us were aware and were at. And something that you notice within these gift exchanges is that there are the presents that everybody competes over, cinnamon rolls, right? There's a lot of cinnamon rolls being competed over. But then there are the presents that, you know, nobody goes after and don't get traded away on purpose or whatever it may be. Can you imagine if God did that to us or to you? Like, if he went out of his way to save someone because he wanted them, but he never gave you a second thought. I don't feel like I have enough in me to be desirable to God, honestly. But God, who is the ruler of everything, thought about me. And he thought about you. And he thought about everybody. In fact, we see in Acts 10 and verse 34, Peter says this, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." It is very hard to understand why a perfect God would want us. And it's very hard to understand why he would allow his son to die for us. And hard to understand why he would offer us peace. Very hard to understand, but it's also true. And the fact that God has thought about us in such a way should cause us to give extra thought in our life about other things. Number one being the life that He has given to us. I want to read in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. We read, "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.' Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices and they shout joyfully together. For they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Break forth, shout joyfully together. You waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem, and the Lord has bared His holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God." Who is it that's being talked about here? It is the true redeemed of Jerusalem that has heard the good news of Jesus Christ and has obeyed that good news. So on one side of the coin, all of us in the lives that we live, we have the problems that the world gives us, the problems that we have just because we are inhabitants of this life. But on the other side of that coin, God has brought us out of captivity. And God has redeemed us. And God has given us salvation through Christ Jesus. And God comforts us. He expects us to look at that side of the coin more often in our lives. And He also expects us to give more thought about people as well. You know, not only in Psalm 126 did the authors see their lives for more than the problems that they went through in their lives, but also they were able to see the fact that other people have problems too. And they were able to see their struggles, and because of that, they cared about them. We know what we read in 1 John 4 and verse 7, we read that love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You know that Jesus loved others, and part of it is He understood them. In fact, he sought to understand him. That's why he came to this earth. We read in Hebrews 2 and verse 17, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." And when I think about this understanding of Jesus, what I thought about was his interaction with the rich man in Mark chapter 10. We read in Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, "As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him. And he asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother.' And he said to him, 'Teacher, I have kept all of these things from my youth up.' And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. And he said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go and sell all that you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.'" Now, you may have noticed that we are told within this passage that this man is rich, or at least that he had a lot of property. But it's not told to Jesus. And yet, whether he did or didn't tell him, we understand that he knew. We understand that Jesus understood the life of this man. And Jesus understood the things that he struggled with. And Jesus understood his weaknesses. And Jesus understood his desire for eternal life. And because Jesus understood him, he loved him. And what did that allow him to do? That allowed him to treat him like he loved him. And in this case, it meant telling him what he needed to hear. We do not understand and know people like God understands and knows people. But we do understand what it's like to be lost. And we understand what it's like to have struggles. And we understand what it's like to make mistakes. And we understand what it is like to be ignorant of the truth of God and His glory. If we are able to look through these lenses of what we understand about people and try to understand them as well, then we might be able to love them. And if we are able to love them, then we can be who we need to be towards them. And for some, that might mean telling them about the Christ Jesus that they need to hear. He is the only one that can bring people out of captivity. He's the only one that can bring joy out of sorrow. For some, that might be to just mean telling them what they need to hear. But for some, that might be forgiving them, or being patient with them, or encouraging them, or teaching them. I want to finish off by reading one more time these last few verses in verse 4 of Psalm 126. "Restore our captivity, O Lord. As the streams in the south, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. And he who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." When the captivity returns in the eyes of this people, they are portrayed as not just sitting back, but they are portrayed as working with what they have been given. sowing, reaping, harvesting, working. We who are in Christ Jesus have been given the dream of all humanity. We have been given eternal life. How long has humanity wanted that? We've been given that through Christ. Let's work with what we have been given. To see the good side of our coin, to see the good in this life that God has given us, but also to bring people to God who can change their lives. If you are ready this evening to obey this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, please do so tonight. Please come forward and be baptized in our Lord while we stand and as we sing.